incentive structure.
Okay, well, let me just start over then. Because here we are, it's 7 o'clock, and this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Thank you for listening. The show is on every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. And I'm not sure where it's going to go in the future, but it's good to have live on-air discussions in the summertime. It's just a nice, relaxing way. So thank you all, each one of you, for being here.
We're
BLAQ.
Done?
No, we've got 1 hour left.
Oh.
And so we've got another hour, and I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. It's fantastic to have you, and each of you is very important. So let's move on to that subject. ESG, Environmental Social Governance, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's like the CRT of the corporate world.
It's an incentive structure.
What's the CRT?
It's an
race theory?
We'll get to that another time.
I'm not going to talk about critical race theory.
Okay. So ESG is an incentive structure for corporations to... it's basically a subsidy that it says if you can prove to us that you are being environmentally friendly... socially friendly and governmentally friendly.
Be more green.
Yeah, government being like, you know, supporting the central government and whatever the policies are. We'll give you free money. So basically, if you're a company and you make bad business decisions by...
polluting the environment or not cleaning up your spill
right.
or not hiring enough people of different diversities or whatever.
So you can be an unprofitable company, but as long as you're catering to this ESG... stuff, they'll basically float your company.
Sort of like Twitter.
What?
Yeah. So you could be like, I don't know,
Twitter.
Like, well, yeah, like Twitter, but like you could be like a bakery and you can do like
recycling all your things.
Yeah, you can do terrible business, but because you're green and you're catering to like diversity and stuff like that, they'll come and give you money to save your company.
Huh.
So a lot of these people, you know, they're saying things like, oh, well, these bad business practices will get filtered out by the free market. They won't necessarily, because the government's going around
subsidizing
the companies they like while ignoring the ones that they don't like.
Although an interesting twist, the UK just gave an oil company green status. Because
that's a joke.
Well, the thing is that they're coming in the winter.
Right.
So somebody has to say that it's... And all they do is change the wording. A month ago, this company was the number one, you know, worst polluter or whatever, and now they're back to being green, and it's an oil-producing company.
Wow.
Just sort of like how they change words, you know? Recession, inflation.
Yeah,
call it black when it's white, and you just...
Vaccine.
Take the... Yeah. Treatment.
They changed they changed the name, and all of a sudden it's okay now.
So how does this ESG eliminate small businesses?
Well, let's say, you know, all these businesses are shut down, for instance, and so you're forced
Which
to
businesses?
Like they are now, 50%
like
of the American population.
Like a bakery or a trinket shop or like a furniture store is shut down. Well, the ones that are abiding by ESG will get more subsidies than the ones that aren't. So the ones that aren't are forced to cut into their savings to stay afloat.
After a 3-year pandemic when 50% of American small businesses are gone.
Right.
So now sweep in and go, okay, if you survived, if you don't do what we tell you to, then you're not
going
to survive.
Especially if you're going through like a recession or something,
right,
where smaller businesses are going to have a hard time.
They're already down.
Right.
And now you get the IRS breathing down your neck. You got to be environmentally conscious. You've got to... I was in a bakery in Lexington and they had 3 different things for the, you know, recycle, compost, or whatever, and I couldn't... It didn't say recycling. It said something else, and I had to ask the employee, where do we put the recyclables? And he goes, right there. And she goes... I said, but that's plastic, and it goes in the compost thing.
Mm.
And she said, no, it's biodegradable, recyclable plastic made out of animal, vegetable protein, vegetable, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh. And that's a small example. So as opposed to the Starbucks, who doesn't use those containers, will have to pay a higher fee for that product. And it'll eventually make every company use that environmental product.
Right.
Oh, wait,
but what's wrong with that?
So ESG, in this sense, means that Starbucks is not ESG, but this other little
independent coffee shop is. That's just an example.
Starbucks,
I'm not saying Starbucks.
But what's wrong with being ESG?
Yeah, they got rid of the straws,
isn't that,
but kept
like
the big
good?
Cups.
The straws, exactly.
Wait,
I know,
stop.
Right, the plastic.
One at a time. Go.
What's wrong with being an ESG? Or what's difficult about being
one? It's a government-subsidized program that the working class, will end up paying for. And we won't necessarily frequent those places to make it even more.
They're subsidizing businesses that aren't necessarily making smart business decisions, is what's going on.
But you gave an example of a small business that runs at a...
A loss, let's
that
say.
That goes at a loss because...
They didn't
well,
do
bad
something.
Business,
doesn't
right?
matter.
Yeah. And then they start to recycle stuff, and now they're getting...
Rewarded.
Rewarded for it for while they're not making sales or enough sales to normally keep them afloat.
Okay, so for the middle class, for you and I, what is the problem?
The problem is that, one, we're paying for it. Then we go in and buy stuff that they don't make a profit from.
Mm-hmm.
They still make their money, but we're the one... We're paying twice. If it was a market economy and they failed, they would fail because they didn't have good service,
right.
The prices were too high, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I go in there to buy something... Mm-hmm. It's not a good quality,
right.
But I'm using a recyclable thing made out of toilet paper, and I still don't get the quality, and I leave and have to do it again. But they get rewarded for doing that.
But you still have choice. I mean, you don't have
well,
to
you
go there.
Well, you do until...
Eventually,
until
but then it'll shift.
Yeah, until the places you like go out of business because they're not getting subsidized. And
right.
Then you
but
don't
then
have
the places
anymore.
You like can just recycle. I mean, you said it's a small thing, like just adding an extra bin.
Right,
like,
but for
recycling.
A small business, if you had a small business and that was the difference between a 10% margin and a 20% margin, which one are you going to take? You're going to take the one that makes your sense for your business and your customers. Maybe your customers don't mind using a plastic straw versus a cardboard straw, which are awful. You
but
know?
Do you really think recycling is that expensive?
Recycling's a waste of time at this point.
But what is the cost to it?
To recycle?
Yes.
I don't know.
Not
I'm not
much.
A business owner.
But it's not much. It
do
wouldn't
you know
even,
that?
Yes.
What do you mean not much?
It's not
much.
Much
to who? The business owner?
Yes.
The business
it's
owner
even better
who after
for you
3 years
as a business owner.
Has a mortgage to pay, has rental in a building, has to try to keep our employees in making money. And then we're being taxed for something that was working fine. I'm on my fifth year being in a bakery.
But think
all of
about
a sudden,
it. In terms of, like, look at the costing. So between plastic and cardboard, which one's expensive?
Well,
plastic.
We don't know the details of this.
Exactly. But you're telling them use cardboard, which is cheaper. So it's more money into the business owner's pocket. Why is that a problem?
What? No, it's not. The business has to go and pay for the movement of to recycle it. You have to find a place that will take it. Usually it's just some Chinese company that's going to throw it in a landfill.
And
it's
dictated by the state.
Right.
No, but we just agree that plastic is more expensive.
Yes.
Than cardboard.
Yes.
But we're telling you, don't use plastic. Use cardboard, because cardboard's recyclable. So
but it's also not... It doesn't do the job for my small
right.
business. If I need to use plastic, I should be able to use plastic and figure out the most environmental... way for me as a business owner to get rid of it. I shouldn't be forced to use cardboard if it doesn't apply to my needs and my business.
I don't agree with you because...
But it's my business. You're the state telling me I need to do it one way.
I'm trying to reduce your cost. Why is that a problem?
Because we're subsidizing it. Because the government is telling me what to do. As
so
a taxpayer...
Your thing is you don't want to be told what to do.
Exactly.
Even if it's
right.
something that could help you.
Help me how?
Like the vaccine?
Reduce your cost.
It doesn't reduce the cost if it doesn't serve the purpose of my specific business.
If you have two things and they can both serve the purpose...
But they don't. Plastic and versus cardboard are two different things for my specific business. I can only succeed if I use plastic. But the government tells me I have to use cardboard. So I'm going to lose money in the long run if I have to use cardboard. The government shouldn't... And I'm also still paying taxes. I'm paying for that service that tells me that I have to use cardboard, even though I need to use plastic.
What business is this?
It doesn't
give me an
matter.
Example.
It does.
Right, no,
I'll
it
give
does.
You another, I'll give you another example.
How does ESG relate to that? All right,
exactly.
I'll give a new example. Let's say Starbucks. Okay, let's get off of environment. Let's go for social.
Okay.
Starbucks, you know, passed that policy that lets anybody use their bathroom, like hobos or whatever. Let's say that fits social.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the government sees that and says, you are hitting the social checkbox. We're giving you money to do this. Now, that policy made Starbucks' customers feel unsafe. The employees felt unsafe. Employees were quitting because drug addicts were coming into their bathrooms and shooting up heroin in their bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But Starbucks doesn't care because they're getting ESG money now.
Uh-huh.
So that's a bad policy. that is being incentivized by the subsidy, and that's ultimately bad for the customer and bad for the employees, but it's good for the CEO of the company because they're getting the money for it.
So and if the customers don't like the quality because the staffing is low, the place is dirty, they're going to lose money that way.
But,
and that's okay because the state subsidizes it.
I don't agree with that because where is Starbucks making most of its money? Is it on this subsidy that they're getting, or is it from people actually buying coffee?
We don't know yet.
But before the subsidy, Starbucks has been in sale, has been in business, right?
Right.
And they've been recording profits.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this is all before the subsidy came in.
Right.
So that means they're making money on coffee already.
Right.
So now there's a subsidy, right? And now, like you said, your example, it's affecting, I guess, the security of an establishment, right?
Sure.
And people are not coming in anymore.
Sure.
So if we're not buying coffee anymore, that profit's gone.
No, the government is making up the difference.
Right.
No, not the entire difference.
Well, enough to make the keep them in business.
No.
It's
what
a subsidy.
No?
Yeah, it's a subsidy, but it doesn't mean that the revenue from the company, like the revenue in a company is supposed to be like what's driving that company, right?
Under normal circumstances.
And if that's going, let's say you cut that off by 50%, even if the government's giving you 50% subsidy, it's not going to go to, that 50% is not supposed to cover your revenue. Like,
I don't know how much it is, but I assume it's substantial.
But it will eventually.
Yeah.
They'll use it as a part of their revenue. They'll use it as a part of their budget, this subsidy.
No, the subsidy is just a cost. You've removed the cost.
No,
you're not adding the profit. You've just removed the cost. That's it.
The business is incentivized for specific items that the government sets out in order to be paid.
Right.
The payment will be used by the business as just more income.
The government doesn't give you money. It just gives you. It's a subsidy. So, for example, if you were supposed to pay X amount of tax, they tell you, okay, you're not going to pay like 100%. You're going to pay $70. Or you're not going to pay $100. You're going to pay $70 now. That's your subsidy. It's not that they're giving you money.
But it's effectively the same because the balance sheet at the end is you've got $30 more dollars in your business.
Right. But you're... When shareholders are looking at this, they're also looking at how much have you sold, how much was it? Like,
they
what
won't
profit
need to
are
do
you
that
at?
Once you get the sub-governance subsidies. It will no longer be necessary. You as a shareholder will get the same amount of pay whether the business succeeds or fails based on the subsidies. The quality of the product goes down, the joy of the customer goes down, and it doesn't matter because the CEOs still get paid through the subsidies.
But the reason I think that won't work is fine. Company A goes down and they're still afloat, right? It's a free market anyway, right?
It's not a free market.
Why not?
Because the government is controlling the outcome of the company and the behavior of the company.
Right.
Once the government comes in, it is no longer a free enterprise because the government is interfering in my ability to use a plastic item versus a cardboard one.
Right. So what's going to happen is the government's going to choose their preferred companies and then they're going to protect it. And that's called protectionism. And that's when a government picks its favorite company.
We only like Dunkin's versus Starbucks.
And then everyone else gets priced out. The costs are too high. And that is the only company that's left standing because the government selects that as their preferred one. And that's not a free market.
And so that's the ultimate end of ESG?
That's one of them,
ESG?
I think.
That's the goal.
Yeah. I would think it's the government trying to select their preferred companies.
Yeah, the ones that raise their hand and go, yep, I'll do that.
Right,
BLM
right.
is a perfect example of that.
Mm.
Every company from Nike to Gatorade all supported the BLM movement, and that covers the social part of the ESG framework.
Right.
They didn't change anything. Every time this happens, it happened when Rodney King, 1999, I think.
Yeah, 92.
Rodney King gets beat up. Every company on the planet or in the country says, "I want to support urban youth or basketball leagues or this or that or the other thing." They write a big check. 10 years later, these same companies, and you can back Nike, you can go back Adidas, look at them, and they have done nothing to help to do what they said they were going to do. Which they couldn't do anyway because that's top-down management style, and that doesn't happen on a cultural level.
Mm. Okay, so now...
Understand what I mean?
I hear you.
Well, explain. Do you have a contrary view?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So now, how does ESG relate in that same way that we talked about with small business into the large corporations?
Well, they'll reward, like, if you're requiring all your employees to get the vaccine, for instance, that might be an instance. They'll be like, all right, we're going to reward you for that. We like that.
Which has already,
like,
happened.
Right, yeah, exactly. And
worldwide.
Or if you're putting in racial quotas in your business, we like that. Here's more money. And that's where a lot of this, the big push for diversity. And
what they can also do is demonize the company that doesn't. Think about
exactly.
that.
Exactly, right.
No, you don't hear any company say, you're a racist. I mean, I think it was in Wyoming that they're going to fire white teachers, tenured teachers that. First, and keep people of color teachers long. They get preferential treatment.
Well, I don't know about that.
I heard that. It was a policy they were talking about. They didn't implement the policy. They were just talking about it.
Yeah.
But you do have, like, a year or two ago, California voted to remove their civil rights law.
Yes.
So that they could, yes, they wanted to remove it so that they could then rebalance, like, work quotas, and, they wanted to, like, increase the number of quote-unquote diverse people in their companies. But that was prevented by the civil rights law from the 1960s, and they wanted to remove it.
And they did.
No, they
no,
failed.
They,
it
no,
failed.
They didn't. Oh, okay.
The vote did fail.
Right.
But it was a big push. It was a big push to remove their own civil rights legislation.
How is that related to ESG?
Because if I'm Nike and I'm in California, or Elon Musk. I'm Elon Musk. I don't have based on the population of whatever part of California it's in, or based on the population, I need to have that number of employees.
Oh, there was and I think California had a big one where they wanted to require, like, 50% of a board to be female or
yes.
something.
Yep.
Yeah, so that type of thing. Then you would get rewarded for doing that.
Oh, I see. So the companies that decide to follow these government policies will get rewarded.
Exactly.
And eventually will outperform other companies.
No, they don't care about that. No, that's not even a thing. But imagine, the problem is with the same thing with the IRS guys. Do you? This is all part of trying to say they're going to do it, but they don't end up doing it. They're never going to get a 50%. They might, but that board of directors, right? If they do 50% of board of directors, then they're going to have to divide it into 50% of those women. How many of them are black? How many of them are lesbian?
Sure.
How many of them are redheads? How many of them are whatever the category is?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have to keep chopping it. They'll have to keep splitting it until they get exactly or somewhere close. And they'll give up. Mm-hmm. They've done it before. I'm going to have this many this, and then it doesn't happen, but nobody follows up on it.
Right.
Well, then what ultimately happens with ESG and the environmental side of it? Now, can the government decide that large companies with too much pollution are exempt from other environmental laws through ESG? Exempt?
As far as I know, it's just a subsidy program.
Okay.
But
you never know. Once they get in, once the foot's in the door, what are they going to do?
And, the government can always print more money, so it's essentially endless.
Well, it's interesting to know about ESG. Now, we're not going to talk about critical race theory.
That's all right. I'm on the food storage. Food storage shortages.
But wait, what about... what's that other thing that's going on? Oh, the wokeism and the... no, I don't want to talk about that stuff either.
No, that's a whole...
It's an endless hole. That's going away.
All this is an endless hole, and it smells.
All right, well, food shortages. Okay, well, let's see. Now we're going to talk about predicting food shortages. We'll change up a little bit for a few minutes here. How can you predict a food shortage? How can you predict something that is fundamentally in all of history been a actual act, basically an act of God, which is insurance speak for kind of random, unpredictable, uncontrollable by humans. I mean, for example, right now in the United States, there's an abundance of food. There always has been. Supermarkets throw out tons of food every week. Mm-hmm. Whole Foods donates lots of unsold food to food pantries and shelters, especially the food that's going to go bad, like the prepared food that's in the cases that they scoop out, you know, like coleslaw, things like that, and bread. This food is donated to, number one, Food for Free in Cambridge, a fantastic nonprofit, and others around the area, other food banks. So there's an abundance of food, and people buy enough food for their house, and then they throw it out if it goes bad. I think a lot of people are not as precise with their food needs.
They are now.
As in other countries. Okay, I think probably more so now than in the past, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, yeah.
Yep.
So since there has always been an abundance of food, and the producers of this food are very well aware of the seasonal changes of their product and of the needs of the population and where amongst the country the population needs certain food at certain times, these producers know really what is going on with their market. If they don't, they'd be out of business. So if there is a act of God, like say for example, there's a crazy snowstorm or a crazy drought in, there's drought everywhere, but an even worse drought in Illinois, where there's tons of corn outside of Chicago, and then it ruins a lot of the corn, say like a substantial part of corn, then there's corn all around the country that will go in to fill that vacuum. There's market forces that fill vacuums that are absorbable, especially to the degree that there's abundance in the country. There's always surplus. It's designed to be flexible so that the corn can be shipped to where it's needed, for example, corn.
There's always surplus. Where'd you get that from?
Well, it's well known that that Americans throw out food at home by, I would say, you know, there's people that go hungry, there's people that have abundance, and there's people in the middle. But the scale is tilted that more people will be throwing out things than are going hungry.
America's Midwest has like a really, really big and robust corn like farming industry. And the government actually does subsidize corn to keep it cheap. So you can be a corn farmer, and it's not uncommon to just grow corn and peanuts and just rotate those two. And if you have a bad crop harvest, the government bails you out.
But they shouldn't anymore.
Right.
You know why? Because the corn crops, after a certain amount of time, they become barren because that's all they grow.
Mm.
And the farmers actually, that's what Farm Aid was all about. They wanted to be able to control what they rotate crops. They wanted more control over their mm-hmm. government subsidized plots of land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if it's still going on. And I don't think I don't think the problem was solved.
Right.
But
America does have it grows a lot of corn and a lot of grain, and to the extent that we do have a lot more than most countries, proportional to the population.
So therefore, if there is a shortage of some kind that is related to an act of God or basically an event that is beyond the control of humans in mm-hmm. general, then that's a random thing that can be generally absorbed by the markets because they're aware of this and built in for that. So therefore, if you're going to predict a shortage, if you're going to predict an act of God, if you're going to predict lightning striking at your house at a certain time, that's impossible. How can someone predict a food shortage that is caused by a random event? You can't. So the point of prediction in this case, now recently we have heard about predicting food shortages that are coming. Careful, they're coming. Everybody's saying they're coming. But this is a message to give that word prediction from the government, from the government sources. This is not a prediction. This is a warning of an impending plan. The people can see that it's a warning. So it's not a prediction. This is just worded in such a way so that it seems like it's a prediction, so that when something actually happens, we can...
You'll be emotionally prepared.
You'll be prepared, and the government will say, see, we told you so. Mm-hmm. And then they can preserve their supposed authority over things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a warning about an impending plan. So in normal functioning, a supermarket has... purchasers of different styles of food. You know, you've got your produce purchaser, your meat purchaser, the soda buyer, and And these people, it's their job to sell the food or to supply the store with enough food to make a profit. So if there's empty shelves anywhere on any store, like to a large degree, that means the buyer is not doing their job. And the buyer should be fired and get a new buyer. If it does happen, then, and it is allowed to happen, then there must be something else. It's not the buyer or the system, because like we've said, the system will absorb problems, and it's in the buyer's best interest to get the food to the stores. There's always been enough food for everybody, really. What the larger sense is, it's the CEO or the general manager of the chain, or say, for example, of Walmart, who is the one who is causing the problem. The GM will say, we will allow this store to not have food at this time for this reason. Now, I just saw a Facebook video that went viral about a guy in Columbia, South Carolina, Walmart, and he showed 50 feet shelving in Walmart, of the Columbia, South Carolina Walmart. There was no meat, no meat at all. There's little places for sliced meat, Kraft cheese, little boxes are all empty. There's little leftover boxes there, but everything's empty. There's individual
the chicken, the fish.
There's it's got a giant thing that says meat, and then it says chicken on the top of the shelf, and then underneath there's five shelves, totally empty, black metal. And then next to it, pork, totally empty, black metal shelves, and beef. 50 feet of this in a giant Walmart, no meat at all. Now that is not a shortage. That is a large-scale manipulation of the company so that it will have a shortage for willful reasons by humans.
Can I ask you a question?
A controlled plan. Yes.
Brian?
So this is the last thing, this is the responsibility of the GM and the of the stores and the heads of the corporations of the stores that are allowing it to happen. You cannot have all pork, all meat, beef, all chicken just disappear.
So where's the beef?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to ask something similar. What stage of the production do you think is causing these shortages?
Well, that's the point. It could be trucking, right?
Right. It could be the logistics. It could be, you know, the rearing of the animals, or it could
be... No, because other stores have meat. Yeah, that's okay, but there's just no...
It's probably the local supplier and something going on specific to that store. Hmm. Not Walmart in general, because there's one right down the street from... Was it Walmart? I always forget. But they had meat. Everybody else has meat. But then again, it could be just a... who knows if the Twitter thing was even real, you know what I mean?
The Facebook thing. Well, it was real.
Well, I saw it on Twitter.
Okay, Did they follow up? Well, there was a follow up that said this is partially false information, because the guy just said it's he didn't know what it was, so he was just trying to say what it was. But the fact is that it existed. There was a 50 feet of empty meat in the Walmart.
It could have been 4 in the morning. You know,
don't believe everything you see. Oh, that's true. It could be 4 in the morning.
I'm worried though that we're going to get to a point where some disease official is going to come to your farm and say, oh, well, you know what? There's an outbreak on your cows.
They already did that.
Yeah, I think I did hear they tried to do that a couple places.
Netherlands, where else? Ireland, I think.
Yeah.
Scotland is really hammering on livestock issues right now. They want to get rid of all beef, meat, local organic.
Right.
Local farmers are being squeezed in Scotland.
Yeah.
Stuff. Climate change reasons or what? I don't even
sustainability
right
reasons.
It's like no meat and animals are sustainable as long as you take care of them, which is mind-blowing.
There's this lie that they're saying like cows pollute with methane.
Yeah, so what?
Something.
Humans pollute.
I know.
Well, yes, now New Zealand and Netherlands want to put taxes on cow farts.
Right.
They want to basically quantize how much methane is produced from each cow and then tax the farmers based on that, because it's contributing to global warming.
But
supposedly.
It's not, because it dissipates quicker than CO2 and also is not as detrimental to any environmental whatever. And they're... I knew there was one more thing, but now I can't remember it.
And that's why some of those farmers are protesting in the Netherlands and were up in arms for this exact reason, because what it does is it removes farmers from the land in the Netherlands and leaves a vacuum for the government to take the land at a reduced price and just do what they want with it. So that eliminates farms and it eliminates production, and then it eliminates the food sources.
And they produce the third largest producer of exportable goods. Netherlands farmers.
Yes, it's a huge farm country.
And they've
been
there for generations.
Yes. So now, why would this start? Why would a government want to institute supposedly food shortages in this plan that has been predicted but is actually telegraphing a warning about a future plan? Why would they want to do that? Well, we look at Sri Lanka. What just happened in Sri Lanka? There was food shortages and gasoline shortages. This was done on purpose because, like I said, markets will fill the vacuums when they are needed. A societal kind of upheaval like what happened in Sri Lanka cannot just happen very quickly like that. It's something that has to be created and engineered and massaged into existence. It's an island economy, first of all, so it was very easy to isolate. India, Modi is the prime minister. He eliminated every cash dollar bill over $20 of value several years ago. So now only cash under $20 bills is allowed in India. So he's obviously playing along with World Economic Forum people. And so in Sri Lanka, after the government was supposedly overthrown, the new guy comes in and institutes horrible fascist control mechanisms of rationing of food and gasoline. And the point is that Sri Lanka is a test for how things will work in the rest of the world when a engineered food shortage is created here in America and in other places.
Mm-hmm. What do we think the ultimate goal, or what do they have to gain from the food shortages, though?
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's several things that go along with that. If you've got a food shortage, then you've got people that are going to go crazy from hunger, and it creates unrest. And in general, the unrest leads to a more chaotic society. And then the chaos leads to people saying, you've got to control this. We need a control. And then they swoop in with the preconceived idea of one world government, where we are the solution to all of this chaos. And this is how we're going to do it. And people will welcome it with open arms, because it was a creation. It was a problem solution reaction solution situation. It's called the Hegelian dialectic, which I don't know a lot about, but I do know that you create the problem that you
create the problem, create will, the cure
that will push people in the direction of your answer. And when they get to your answer, they will welcome it and ask for it. And therefore, when they ask for it, that is when it is most effective for you. Same thing happened with this COVID thing. It was not dangerous. It was put across as extremely dangerous. People freaked out and begged for an answer. The answer was presented, but what the answer is endless biological control.
Subscription-based existence.
And continuance of profits to certain corporations that are playing within the rules of the government, who actually are owning the government too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what will happen if there are food shortages. But what it cannot be done is to prevent food from getting to people that need it. So what you can do is you can grow your own food, you can start your own garden, you can talk to people who have the meat. You can go to the farmers' markets. You can drive around and go to the western part of Massachusetts and get the food if you need it. And there's many options. So don't let this fear worry you.
You keep saying that, but they're captured. They're not going. The majority of the population is captured.
It's up to us to say that it's all manipulation.
Right, but we're not. We need to be more empathetic. We're not sympathetic. You know what I mean? It's like that's the, like I said before, fear versus facts, pretty much. We're still in that. There's a majority of people that are still under the misconception. Think of the people that were at the store.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are behind the counter are masked. Whether or not they believe it, mm-hmm. as long as that physical representation is still there, there's still going to be a percentage of the population refuses to acknowledge that it is over.
That's why I say to everybody that it's a joke and that
but
you're still
afraid
of it.
But that's not enough, because now they're responding. You tell them it's a joke. Some people have been saying this.
From the beginning.
It's hard to believe they're on year three.
Yeah.
That's the most shocking thing to me. because in 2020, I had an argument. I lost a friend that day because I said, "You realize this won't be 2 weeks, right?"
Right.
And he was like, "No." I have not spoken to him since that.
Yeah, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
I said, "This ain't gonna end." No.
Remember who told you that? Remember who said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and who said all that other stuff?
Right.
Well, guess what? They're not telling the truth today either.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, but that's what I mean. Those people.
Yes.
Are still living in that. I've lost so many friends because of this. Yep. 30 friends I've had for 30 years. They still will not speak to me. I texted a friend of mine the day Biden got inaugurated, and I said, "Can we be friends now?" And she texted back, "Not yet."
Well, people got to recover their own way.
But we need to figure out a way to help them.
Let me just say, this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And this show is every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. How can we help them?
Well, I don't know, because I think I'm a very unfeeling person, and I have no patience for sick people.
Well,
and
they're
sick at this point.
I think they have almost like a Stockholm syndrome at this point.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do.
Where it's like, even if you showed them the proof, they'd be like...
Even if you open the door, they're not leaving.
Right, and there's some people who said, well, you know what, if that's true, I don't even want to live in a world where that... Right,
see
right.
ya.
No, exactly. but they just say that. But they're just gonna not listen to you. They're just gonna say, like, I don't care. Like, the government knows best. And if they made a mistake, then oh well. Like, I guess that's it. I trusted them, and I still do.
Right.
You know, you're not.
And those are the people that get.
And
you're not gonna.
Yeah, you're not gonna wake up those people unless you totally cut them off from everything, like all their anchors to their reality.
Right.
Well, it's people have habits of their daily life, and if they stop watching TV, then that's really the first thing. Because, but however, I think a lot of people are not watching TV anymore. Netflix just had more subscribers than all of cable television. In one night, more people were watching Netflix than were watching cable TV.
Right. Yep.
So that was
last night. Actually,
that's a good. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's last night. Great.
Yeah.
Or maybe more people are. I have a feeling a lot of people are doing video games.
Oh, yeah, they're not watching anything worth
well,
content. They're watching mind-numbing stuff. Just on it. It's more focused.
Although I don't know if you've seen Netflix these days. Like, it's mostly propaganda now. Like, it's all Netflix original shows. You're not going to find, like, award-winning, Academy Award-winning movies anymore. It's all...
Well, they don't make any of that.
Yeah. It's
movies
all,
making
right,
stuff.
It's all just Netflix originals
What do you
now.
Mean? They have all the Academy Award-winning movies on there. You can
the
find
old
them
ones.
If you want.
Right, the old ones.
No, yeah. No, you can't. On Netflix, no.
They're gone now?
They're gone. No, yeah. I've checked. They're not there anymore.
I go to the library and I get
is that
discs
thing working?
Out.
What thing?
Do we have
Can Netflix you go on Netflix?
There?
I don't have it on this computer.
Yeah.
Well, can you just like, even if you just put Netflix, what the content or something?
I don't know if that you can do that. Yeah, I don't think it shows up.
Oh, it's on Twitter.
At least when I checked, everything on there was just Netflix original shows now and movies.
Well, didn't they used to have like
they
all
did.
The old
they
like,
did they used
did they
to
have
yeah.
Family Guy. Was that Hulu?
Well, what happened was all the studios, they started recalling all their licenses because, you know, Paramount has their streaming service and HBO has their streaming service and everyone has their streaming service. Disney, there's no Disney movies on there anymore. They pulled them. It's all on Disney Plus now.
Oh, right.
So they pull it. Yeah.
Oh,
so all the studios have been pulling their stuff from Netflix. So whereas before you had like...
Well, didn't one of them have the most, a large percentage of content?
Netflix used to have a lot. And now, like, Paramount has Paramount Plus, so Paramount's like gone. They pulled it from Netflix.
Oh, I thought that they
Disney,
had, like, a 20-year, like, a contractual,
No, the contracts are, like, yearly or two-yearly basis.
Oh, so they're all pulling back.
They're
basically taking back their stuff.
Yep.
They're taking back their toys.
Yeah, so they can set their own respective
got it.
Streaming
I wonder,
services
well, who's the biggest? So
it's
Netflix?
Probably, it's
HBO?
It's still Netflix, I think, but they've been losing subscribers faster than you'd think.
Because it was HBO for a while because they had Game of Thrones, The Sopranos, The Wire.
Right. They got The Wire.
Yeah, they had a good run.
And now, I don't know what's unlike going. Disney, I think HBO lets you watch all their stuff, whereas Disney holds back a lot of it. So, like, if you go onto Disney Plus, you're never going to be able to watch. They rotate them out. So
like the videotapes they used to have. They used to release the videotapes every couple of years.
Yes, exactly. It's this exact same model. So Disney creates like a false scarcity of their own products.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they rotate them out. So you're never going to find everything all
create
at once.
Create the problem.
Right, exactly.
Create the cure and cash in.
Which kind of makes you miss your old VHSs and DVDs now.
My sister
at least
has a whole collection of those. And we have a boatload of DVDs, too.
Right,
I look at it all the time, and I'm like, I'm very OCD.
Yeah,
and my bedroom has a... Yes, really. I have a cassette. I have a CD player.
Yeah.
A DVD player.
Yeah, yeah.
And I keep wanting to get rid of it because I don't like where it is. But I refuse to do that because I have a whole collection of DVDs.
And also, you notice all those new Apple computers, they have less and less ports these days.
Oh, yeah. You have to get a jack or something like that.
Or they probably want you to use the cloud.
Yeah, I remember when they got rid of CDs in your CD reader. Laptop.
Yep.
We were just talking about that. Well, what about the fact that you want to have real media not changeable over time? Because if you put it on the cloud or if you have a video that's on Netflix, then they can snip a couple seconds here and there, and it's still on the server, but it's actually not a different movie than what you've seen before.
It's been touched.
Yeah. It's been altered, yeah.
I have a funny story regarding that. Think about 2 years ago now, I was at the Walmart bargain bin, and I saw Gone with the Wind. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get this, because like, this seems like a movie they're going to try to censor.
Literally two months
after I bought it, they said, oh, we're going to censor Gone with the Wind because of problematic scenes about racism
content.
Or something.
They tried to do the same thing with Bugs Bunny cartoons
in the
70s. And thank God I have my copies.
Right.
But they go back and forth. Sometimes they'll... Right. And also depends on who's streaming them. You know, if you go to, like, YouTube, it'll be a full cartoon or something. I mean, it'll be the full video. Versus if you go somewhere else, they'll get rid of the frying pan swinging and hitting the guy
or,
in the face.
Or change Elmer Fudd's gun to a net or something.
Right. It's insane. Like that.
That's the thing with online content is that it can be changed in just a second.
Right.
And you can't have it printed. You can't have a repository for all time for research purposes or for making a point. So if you're writing a book, for example, say you're in 1980 writing a book, you have your gigantic bibliography of all the sources you've shown, and you've got footnotes of each thought that you found somewhere else that somebody else's and how it relates to your thoughts, and you put it all in a big list, and everybody can go to that list of books and find the book and find where your thoughts were. If you're doing something today, and you're trying to quote something on the web, it might be gone because somebody thought there was a problem with it for some left or right reason or some political reason, or because the server's gone, or because there was a censoring problem from the government or something. So the difficulty in preserving knowledge and keeping a straight through line of content and just mental acuity is much harder now because
it gets altered.
You don't have a concrete scenario of thought.
Well, that's like Tiananmen Square. There's a Chinese comic who went to Australia to study, and her friends were telling her, her American friends, or somebody else was telling her, came to the U.S. and they said, you're right, you were born around you were 10 when Tiananmen Square happened. And she said, what's that? And she was 20, and it happened when she was 10, and she had no idea that it happened, and she sort of like COVID or sort of like anything, it's like, I don't believe you, and I'm like, no, here's the thing right here. And she's like, no, this could not possibly happen, how can my country do that to that, you know, how did this happen? And she's like, no, it's right here. And she was shocked that at 20, well, she was never told, at 20 she found out about something that happened in her lifetime that she didn't know about. I think she immigrated to the U.S. or something like that. But or the fact that I was I had a neat nephew, I had the dictionary. I have one of those big Webster dictionaries. He's like, "What's that?" Wow, I've never seen I've never seen such a big book of texts.
Right.
Texts, not text. He said texts.
Hmm.
Like it was this kind of text. In a book that was this big.
Oh, yeah. He thought it was text messages.
Yes!
Oh, he said he's never seen a big book of text messages before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... didn't Wikipedia just have information changed on it to suit certain...
Change the recession. Name it recession.
Yes.
So an agreed-upon place. I always thought that was a problem with Wikipedia.
You can
change anything at any time.
Well, yeah, but...
It used to be used by responsible people.
Right, it was usually an honorable thing, but it's gotten captured. Too. Everything is captured. Or the thing with the vaccine, changing the name, and then a bunch of I am impressed, but 2 years ago when they changed the name of the vaccine, a bunch of doctors actually stood up and said, no, this is not, you cannot do this. It is not the definition of what we originally had, and it hadn't changed in 100 years of virology, so they changed it back.
Yeah.
But it took like a couple of days for that, and nobody, and hardly anybody knew, didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Did they keep their jobs though?
Or did, unknown.
Okay, so good. We're coming up at the end here. We have 15 minutes left in the program, maybe a little less. And I want to thank all of you for being here, first of all. But we're going to get to the last thing, because there's just something that just came out today that I want to talk about, or this week. And we're going to talk about killing of cash and CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. Cash is king. It will always be king. If somebody tells you cash is going away, you know it's the end of the world. That is the end of the world when cash is gone. Cash must always be around. It must survive. It must always exist.
Except in Sweden.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
What are you cutting me off for?
Oh, I didn't know there was a gap. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
Sweden is cashless. It's cashless now.
They have kronors, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying they now have the digital.
Can you still use physical?
They've gotten it down to 10% of the businesses.
Well, here in Massachusetts, it's required to accept cash if you are a retail establishment. The Red Sox tried to go cashless this year, and they were sued, and then are now taking cash in the same old way you used to, by passing the dollar bill down the aisle and get your hot dog coming back with the change.
I was invited to a Red Sox game a couple of weeks ago, and we couldn't download the tickets because they wanted all our information.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah,
and we were trying to figure out how to go around it. We said we'd just go down there because I was going to come late, and they said we'll meet you at the gate. And usually you just meet at the gate, give somebody a ticket or something, and you can get in. Right. No, now you have. I'm sorry, you didn't buy the tickets. You can't get the tickets.
They transferred it within the app to different users, so you have to get the app and then get your account, and then you get the ticket.
Whereas basically, just like cash, here's your ticket.
I know, why
I couldn't
not?
Even print the ticket.
I know, I noticed that too.
They've been preventing you from printing them now. Yeah.
But that's what I like to have that as
I
a
did
souvenir.
Too.
Me too. Right. Especially if it's a pivotal game.
I still have...
Why are you laughing? I'm a baseball fan. What can I say?
I'm listening to you guys, and... All you want to do is print the ticket. Like, is that important? Come
it is.
On.
It is if it's a historical moment and you have no...
Not only that, but, like, they're collecting data on you and, like, the individual information from your phone. So
it's
they're going to...
Yeah, but they have it all anyway. Yeah. But, no, if it was a championship Red Sox game, everybody who has that ticket from that pivotal game, it broke the curse in Boston.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Everybody who has a ticket, they're going to, never mind, will they relive it every time they see it? I know people that have a ball, the ticket, a hat, the whole thing. It wasn't a pivotal moment in Boston history for everybody who is a sports fan. That's in a box. You don't have that if you go to a game and they do it again. You have nothing. You have a video. You're not ever watching the video, but you'll look at the picture.
Yeah.
That's you.
It's memories. I mean, I guess that's...
Well, when you're 90 and you're like, and you look at it and you go, yeah, I remember that, versus...
My ticket is from the...
I guess a hill I'm not willing to die on.
I'm not willing to die on it either. It's just...
quick aside, my ticket is from the best game I've ever seen in real life, from the fourth row. Special tickets a friend gave me. Pedro Martinez pitched 15 strikeouts.
Oh, my God. That was a great game.
And he was a master.
Poetry in motion.
Stunning. There was I think it was a one-run game because of the relief pitcher. And when he left the mound that day for the relief pitcher, standing ovation, two minutes. Fantastic.
That was a great moment in Boston history.
Funny guy, but not worth dying for. Yeah. Okay, so now let's move on to killing cash and CBDCs. Now, the thing that I just saw happen of a way to start to kill cash is happening in Canada right now. Mm-hmm. There was a bank put out an addendum to their service agreement with a new statement that said, starting November 1st, an update to the terms and conditions for Halifax Banking Company. New updates to terms and conditions starting November 1st, 2022. That's 2 months away.
Hey. Oh,
and one of them here says the following. We've added a new condition that says, if it's necessary due to economic circumstances that affect the banking industry, we may restrict the amount you can have in your accounts, either by applying a limit or by imposing a charge. If we have to do this and it applies to your account, we'll write you with more information. Now, what this is a reverse interest rate to make sure that you don't keep a lot of money in your account, to make sure that you don't have money.
To make you don't have money. Hey.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And this was predicted by Majid Nawaz back in February, 6 months ago. And it's a fee because you've got too much money in your account. Because you have money.
Yeah.
And you can't have money. That's what this bank is saying, is that you can't have money because they're going to give you a charge or they're going to give you a fee or apply a limit to your account, so you can't have your money in the bank. So you know what happens when you see something like that in your bank? You change banks immediately.
Oh, yeah.
You go
to
the other bank immediately and you screw this bank, Halifax Banking Company.
Yeah.
But they're only in, you can say screw on the air, but you can't say some things.
Is Halifax okay?
Or Halifax.
Because that's the
Halifax
province,
is in Nova
the,
Scotia.
I thought it was a specific bank.
It is. The Halifax Bank.
HBC is one of the big banks in Canada.
But this is
HSBC.
A different. This is not
right.
HBC.
Oh, okay.
This is not that. This is
it's
just a small bank, Halifax Banking Company. And now, the reason it is starting in Canada is very important because both the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada are both members of the World Economic Forum. They are fundamental young world leaders, members of the class called Young World Leaders of the World Economic Forum. Justin Trudeau is the Prime Minister, and Chrystia Freeland is the Deputy Prime Minister and also the Minister of Finance. So she is probably the one in charge of creating the direction that is limiting people's ability to have money. So how can you avoid it? Well, you have to know who these people are. Chrystia Freeland, Justin Trudeau are part of the World Economic Forum. And part of the World Economic Forum's plan is to own nothing and be happy, and for you to not live a life of a human being, but as of a slave.
You meaning us, not
you,
them.
You meaning whoever's listening to me.
Right.
If you can hear me, they don't care about you. They only care about having enough beef for their friends and having you eat bugs and live in a box. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to... What you have to do is forget these people. You have to forget them all the way.
But these people have been saving them their whole lives. Bill Gates, Fauci, Trudeau, it's captured. They've already accepted the fact that this is the way it's going to be, and they're perfectly comfortable doing that. It's the ones that are on the fringes that need to balance it out. You know, I'd be very happy. I'll accept the fact that there are certain people that are never coming back from this.
Yep.
They'll be wearing masks for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. And poor people. Poor saps.
You know what? We tried. We failed. But there's the middle people. Like the middle class, basically.
Yeah.
We're going to keep everything going because that's what we do. We cushion the stuff, we cushion the poop from the top, and we wipe our feet off from the people on the bottom. And as long as we can keep that cushion, we'll be fine. And that one of those ways of doing it is using cash. But it's also getting together with other people that are on the fringe. Like my family's a perfect example. They'll be taking shots until they drop, no matter what.
So how do we eliminate this situation? Well, do you eliminate the people, the individuals, as part of the who are part of the World Economic Forum? Do you name them?
It's kind of eliminate's kind of a strong word.
I know it is, but what other thing can you do?
Well, remove them. So like you gotta
publicly shame them.
Yeah,
that's the only way it's gonna
you
happen.
You gotta catch them up.
Put their pants down.
Yeah.
Just laugh at them and call them dumbasses.
No,
you got to go to their meetings. You got to bang pots and pans. You got to say, hey, this is the person right here that's ruining your life. And you got to draw attention to them.
Beginning of Fauci, end of Fauci. What he said 2 years ago about influenza, what he said, I don't know, a week ago. And do a timeline. I'm sure you guys have seen them. But I wanted to give you the U.S. Post Office right below WMFO has a sign on the door that's saying no cash accepted.
Huh. Well, the thing is, there are not just these people who are part of the World Economic Forum. There's lots of other people. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, he ran for president. He's a member of the World Economic Forum. He was in that Young Leaders Program. Also, half of Canada's parliament, this was boasted by Klaus, that Schwab. Klaus Schwab is the guy who ran it. And what a psychopath!
I call him Pete Butt Plug It In.
He's a psychopathic spreading his psychopathic ideas. So Buttigieg is there, part of the psychopathic crew. And now, who is running for Prime Minister of UK? The former finance minister, Rishi Sunak. He wants CBDCs. And he is also from the Young Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum. These psychopaths are doing things that they think is going in their direction. So what you have to look at is people who are using their position of power to direct ideas that are thought of by this group and the people who are using their power to perpetuate these ideas. That is how you know. You know by the actions taken, not by the words, but by the actions. You don't judge a book by its cover, you judge it by its words. Well, wait. Wait a second, I just switched it around. I'm just kidding.
Content.
You judge it by the content. So what somebody is doing is the judgment of their character. So there are, how many people are in the United States government? How many people are in the Massachusetts government who are subscribing to these things? How many university presidents are there, or mayors of towns and cities around here?
Somerville.
They're people who are using their power to perpetuate the ideas of fear and inequality. So you have to be constantly on the lookout for these people, call them out, and do more than that.
Get in their faces.
I mean, so I talked to a little kid about this, and I asked him, "What would you do about it?" And he was immediately animalistic in aggressive.
What did he say?
Ending of the person's existence. So,
how old?
12.
Oh.
But that's the first thing you think of. But that's not acceptable. You can't do that. So what you have to do is
yet they want to do it to us.
Yes.
Well, we got to take Maxine Waters' advice. You know,
get
in their faces. They're having dinner. You know, like, go disrupt them. Like, that's what you got to do. Especially when these people are trying to, you know, enslave you and destroy the middle class.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get in their face. Yeah.
No cash is unacceptable. You got to have cash all the time. All right. Well, I want to thank our panel for coming in today. I think that's good, and that's a good place to end it. I think we're very happy that you. I'm very happy you came in, and the thing that I think is important is that we're just talking about things that we think about, and that we can continue to do.
Open the lines of communication.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's just say what you want to say. That's what this country is all about. Any last words from anyone?
Create the problem, come up with a cure, cash in.
Whoa.
No matter what it is.
Stay safe, folks.
How am I going to...
Define safe.
How do I get
What'd
that
say?
On there?
Define safe.
Find safe?
Oh.
Safe? Just, it depends. Whatever makes you safe, stay safe, my friends. Oh. Go for a bike ride.
That's dangerous. Well, that was fun and exciting.
I'm going.
Wait, I'm trying to get the CD on here.
We still live. Oh,
that's him. We don't have to do anything. So.
No, bro, we're live.
Thanks again, folks. We'll see you next week, same time. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. We're here every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m.
Save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. But surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. Tell them that I'm doing fine watching the shadows on the wall. Oh, don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here making the wheels go round. Roll.
asking questions, lost in confusion. Well, I tell them there's no problem.